Gold and silver are God's money, and Bitcoin is people's money. The people control the value of the Bitcoin, where fiat with this stuff here is government money. And faith in the U.S. government is as low as it's ever been. You can manipulate laws and all this, but Bitcoin follows a different set of code. You can't mess with it.
Than just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on The Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on five key areas of your financial life. Learn more about The Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
Robert, thank you for coming back on the podcast. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. I mean, your service or your information is priceless.
Well, thank you. We were just saying a little bit before we got started, you were on the podcast last October. You made some predictions. They were spot on. And, you know, now with the reconciliation bill, gold, everything kind of going on, everything that you kind of talked about, I thought it'd be great just to have you back on and kind of unpack all that stuff and how you came to all those predictions and why you were so spot on the money.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
But before we get started, I don't know if you remember or not, but you know, we had talked about you're a hunter, I'm a hunter, I'm more of a country boy hunter, you're more worldwide, and you were telling me the story of your hunt in Africa, and you sent me the picture. That was fantastic. That was probably one of the coolest pictures I've seen, so I appreciate you sharing that with me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Africa's a special place.
Yeah, that was pretty cool with the elephants and sharing that story, how they were charging you. That was pretty cool. So when we talked in October, we were talking about gold and silver, how you've always kind of been and you've been investing in gold coins since your late teens, 18, 19 years old. Obviously, you're heavily involved in all types of real assets and real money. But what are your thoughts right now on gold? You did predict gold would hit easily $3,500, and you said you'd see it going to 5,000, possibly 10,000 in the next couple of years. And it did hit 3,500. We talked about Bitcoin, but tell me why gold and silver are still so very important, even in this current economy, even after the election.
Well, because I think it was JP Morgan said gold is money. Everything else is credit. In other words, everything else is debt. And this here is debt. And if our monetary system is broken, it's the main reason I'm concerned, same as you are. Mm-hmm. And rather than fixing this problem, they keep printing more and more of it. It's not really the price of gold going up, it's the purchasing power is coming down. And so for people who are planning on retiring or who already are retired, as I read in my book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Savers or Losers, if you're saving this thing and they're printing it, then how do you get ahead? So it looks like inflation, but it's really devaluation. And so to see all sides of it, so it's really easy to predict. And my biggest concern is, you know, this national debt is out of control now. We cannot stop it. It's not stoppable. This train cannot be stopped. And so there's another book called The Big Print by Lawrence Lepard. And my whole company is going through it right now to study it together. But The Big Print hasn't started yet. That's the thing.
I'm actually writing that down. It's called The Big Print.
Yeah, by Lawrence Lepard. He would be an excellent guest for you. Boy, is that boy smart. And The Big Print is easy to read, understand, but it's frightening. I have books to groups with my company.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're going. They kind of understand now what I was talking about or what I could see coming. Is when you print this, the rich get richer. Why do the rich get richer? Because the price of gold goes up or oil goes up. But also when you print this, the price of chickens go up and eggs go up and all that goes up. Mm-hmm. So what we have now, Ed, is a great divide between the 1% who are rich and the rest of them is getting poorer. And I'm concerned about the retirees because they're sitting on a pile of paper, not really money, credit. So that's what's frightening.
I've been talking about this for years, and obviously I reread your book. These are things that I've been preaching about for years and decades. This debt, I don't believe in debt, this debt bubble that we're in right now. I mean, I think we are approaching kind of the Weimar Republic, you know, after World War I, Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Italy, right? All of these different things. And I don't know how we can stop it going from the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation in world history. And you were talking about gold. You said this a lot of times in interviews. You've said it a couple times in your books. I always talk about gold being a great storage of value. I hate the use of the phrase, it's a hedge, right? But you put it in a different perspective. You say that really gold and silver, it's really insurance. So can you explain what you mean by that when you make those statements?
It's history. And what history proves is we don't learn from our history. And you mentioned a couple of my hot buttons there, Weimar Republic and this is a Zimbabwe note, you know.
But I actually have the $1 trillion note framed on my wall.
And $10 million. And I've been kind of blessed in goofy ways. I was in Zimbabwe when it crashed. And you haven't lived until people realize this is toilet paper. And then they didn't know how you do this, how you do that. But when it crashed, I'm a hunter and a big game hunter. And I'm riding in this truck. And they call them war vets or black young men. They're all armed with AK-47s, and I've seen enough AK-47s in my lifetime. This is my aircraft I flew in Vietnam, and they shot at me many, many times. Couldn't hit me. But anyway, these young black guys are out there. They put the guns on me. I go, and then they went up to the white farmer. This is in Zimbabwe, and they told her to get off the property. That's their property now. And I'm sitting there watching this. I'm watching history, Ed, and it's terrifying. And I don't want, you know, I'm not going to shoot at them because I'm outgunned. So they finally make the little white farmer woman know poor husband was kind of an invalid. So the black guys drive off, the war vets, and she comes up to my hunter, my professional hunter and me. He says, burn this place down, leave them nothing. And they basically what's called reparations. The left in America is using that word a lot too, reparations to give back to the black people. History is repeating in the strangest way. So I sat there, I looked at this older white woman, you know, just, this place, now she's speaking in Afrikaans, and I didn't understand. So my PA says, we have to burn our place down. And so everybody was gone. We took these torches and we set fire to grass shacks and their years and years and years and years that they had spent building. And then we saved the diesel for the last, and we torched the diesel and things just blew up. And I felt like I was on a movie set or something. It was so surreal. But that's what happens when you print money. And the Weimar Republic, as you know, the people always laugh about, oh, yeah, they go buy food with a wheelbarrow full of money. Everybody laughs about it. Mm-hmm. But that wheelbarrow full of money led to Adolf Hitler. Right. How many people died because of him? That was the end of the Weimar Republic and the Treaty of Versailles and all that. Again, history proves we don't learn from our history. So now America is in exactly the same position. We have homelessness all over the place. The gap between rich and poor is widening. We have riots going all across, nowhere president, or what this thing is. But the Civil War has come to America now. And a lot of it's caused by fake money. You don't know it, but you know something's wrong. It's Gresham's laws, you know. Gresham's law says when bad money enters a system, this is bad money.
Right.
When it goes into hiding, the trouble is the average American has no financial education at all, which is why I have my cash flow games and all this. Average American is more than poor. They're stupid.
There's no financial literacy.
I know you do your best to get people. Why don't you study a little bit? No, I know all this stuff. America's a king.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Americans are fat, dumb, and stupid right now. It's just horrifying. Horrifying.
Yeah. And you know what? The attitude that we continue to see, well, it transcends against every class. And it really starts in D.C. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine right up until it's not. And there is that tipping point where you can't ever come back. And I think we've approached that. I don't know if we're at the edge yet, but we're definitely at that tipping point. And even with the reconciliation bill, which there are parts of it that I like, the fact that we're going to extend the current tax cuts, but, you know, the additional spending, and I get it with the Laffer curve and everything else. I just, with DOGE, what people don't understand is that Congress, the House and the Senate, they have to do their jobs, but no one's willing to. That's the negative part about the republic, right? Where being a republic is you want to get voted back in the office. So, you know, you have to do certain things. And unfortunately, it's to the detriment of the whole.
And you know what you're talking about, but I think you and I are brothers. Joined at the hip on this one, joined at the wallet, should we say. But I feel for my, not just Americans.
Yeah.
But this is a global problem.
It is.
Yep. Global.
And when you really start seeing, you know, what's happening in Japan and now India, and everyone keeps talking about how China is, you know, my concern is that it is more global. It's not just the U.S., like you were saying, from Japan to India to China, the EU. I mean, it is this big printing machine. And we're starting to see, a friend of mine sent me a chart on China last month, the amount of gold that they bought, the actual amount. It was, you know, 3 tons more than the previous month. And that previous month was 3 tons more than the previous month. And people are really starting to stockpile precious metals all the way across the board because they're starting to see what's coming large scale globally.
Even Costco can't keep gold in the stock.
As soon as you see it, right? If you try to click on it, it's gone literally in minutes, if not seconds. When we were talking in October, you said, I think gold was roughly right around 21, 22. And you said, yeah, it's going to hit 3,500 in less than a year. And don't be surprised if it hits five in a couple years and 10 before you realize it. And sure enough, it hit 3,500 in 6 months. And it's been hovering. I think right now, I was just looking at it, it's at 34. Even though everyone's kind of loading up on gold right now, I'm honestly shocked that gold prices haven't even gone higher. Why do you think it's as low as it is right now?
That's a $1 million question, but it's actually good news for people who are just realizing they better buy some gold.
Yes.
I'm a hardcore gold addict. This is my gold mine in Trixie. It's called the Trixie Mine. And gold is green, like real money is. It's green. And I own the mines. I own silver mines. I own cattle. I own anything that the government can't print. That is kind of my rule of thumb. It's been that way for most of my life. So I love real estate because they can mess with the taxes and interest rates, but they can't print the real estate. So my income, my cash flow comes from apartment houses. And with that, I'm buying gold over Bitcoin. It's a very simple formula.
So let's talk about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin was hovering around 50. It was either 49 or 51 when we talked, and you said, oh, it's going to hit over 100,000 in the next couple months, and don't be surprised if it hits 250,000. And boy, I'll tell you what, if you weren't spot on the money. So what is it about Bitcoin? Because I know early on, it wasn't that you weren't a fan. I think you were still kind of trying to figure out if it made sense. But now you're a raving fan, just like you are with gold. So what is it about Bitcoin that you like?
Well, I think the easy word is called integrity. You can't manipulate it. You know, you can manipulate this stuff and you can manipulate laws and all this, but Bitcoin follows a different set of code, and the blockchain technology, which I'm not really that familiar with. It took me a while to figure it out, but you can't mess with it. So I would say gold and silver are God's money and Bitcoin is people's money. The people control the value of a Bitcoin. So gold and silver are God's money, put here by God, and Bitcoin is for the people. Where fiat with this stuff here is government money. And, you know, the faith in the U.S. government is as low as it's ever been. You see the rioting in the streets and all of this now. And not Republican or Democrat, but when Trump put the wall up, Biden took it down. You go, why did they do that? And now Trump is out there trying to round him up. And he looks like the bad guy.
Right.
It
right.
Can't get any more insane than this. It is so insane. It makes no sense.
All right. So you talk about gold and silver being God's money because he put it here. And you've talked about this. You've said it in your books before. Silver, I think, is probably the best value because everyone needs it for technology and everything else. And it's still, I think, super undervalued right now. Why do you think silver is still such a great buy, you know, as compared to gold and even Bitcoin right now? Do you think it's just people aren't aware?
Well, silver is consumed. Gold is stored. And so every day we're burning up silver. And there's less and less, it's harder, you know, silver comes from actually copper mines, and they're finding less and less silver. And every time, you know, we're fighting Iran, Iraq, and where else are we fighting? There's a Ukraine. Rockets are flying, have silver in them, with the electronic guidance system. So I think it's like 4 pounds of silver in every Tomahawk rocket missile. It's a strategic weapon. The guy that has that, Andy Shechtman, he knows he's Miles Franklin, but he found out that every rocket, the Tomahawk, has 4 pounds of silver in it. So every time you see a rocket going off, it goes boom. You don't get that silver back, but the gold is hoarded, if you know what I mean, gold mm-hmm. is stored. So silver is consumed and gold is hoarded or stored. And every EV has to have silver. You know, they don't put too much gold in an EV, but it carries a lot of silver. All electronics carry silver. And it's been suppressed. You know, J.P. Morgan was just nailed, I think, $1 billion for manipulating the price. But get this. They caught him. They fined him $1 billion, which was chump change to J.P. Morgan. But they control the SLV, the silver ETF, and the gold ETF, I believe. Could be wrong on that. But the crooks paid the fine, but they're still there. And so that's why I don't touch anything that's an ETF form. Now, you can if you want. I'm not a financial advisor, but I want the real thing. Like, I own cattle. You know, you can't print cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I own Wagyu cattle. And why Wagyu? Because it's high-end cattle. The rich will always have money, unfortunately. And the poor and middle class are getting poor, which I think a lot of the rioting, you know, rioting against Trump, but my God. The gap is getting too wide. It's dangerous. We're on the brink of civil war, I'm afraid.
The U.S. dollar got below 100, and it's been there for a couple months now. It is a fiat currency, but, you know, to steal a phrase from the movies, it's fugazi. I mean, it's just fake. Why do you think the U.S. dollar has been so sustainable, and why is the U.S. still able to continue to borrow money at the rate that they are?
Well, I think those days are coming to an end. That's the problem. You see, what happened is when in 1971, when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard,
mm-hmm.
what became good as gold was the U.S. Treasury, you know, U.S. bonds and stuff like that. And the central banks around the world, like China, Japan, and all that, they bought all of our bonds, our debt. And as long as they were buying it, America could go out and buy cheap Chinese products, Japanese products, German cars, French wines, and all this, because we're printing money. But once the confidence went out of the U.S. bonds, treasuries, because America's been a poor steward of money, the Chinese had dumped in their bonds and they bought gold, and then now they start to buy silver. So what you and I are talking about is one of the biggest changes in our lifetime, our history. But the problem is most people who haven't read my book, obviously, I said savers or losers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to save this stuff here.
Right.
You know, you want to save, here's a 1964 Kennedy half dollar. So that's 50 cents. I show this to people. I said, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have this or this? And they'll go for this.
Every time. Every time.
It takes three of these to buy one of these. But people have been so programmed to take toilet.
You're right. They just don't get it. And I don't know if you saw this. The Treasury auction was last week, and I forget how many hundreds of billions that were up for auction, and they weren't bought. And so, you know, obviously the U.S. Treasury, the Federal Reserve, had to come in and buy those. And we are the reserve currency, but you've got BRICS coming in, and China's kind of leading that, along with Brazil and Russia, to remove the U.S. as the reserve currency, because anytime there's a commodity, oil, whatever it is, it's always that transaction is in the U.S. dollar. And as soon as that stops, that's the end. That is the beginning of the end for everything. And the insurance of having gold and silver, really, that's going to be the saving grace, because I think the rest of it is going to disappear. Or we're just going to have wheelbarrows of it.
A couple of friends are financial planners. And I said, are you buying Apple? I said, no, I'm just buying silver. And this has been years, Ed. And they go, but you could make more money chasing Apple or, you know, Microsoft, whatever it is. I said, I'm saving real money. And I lost a lot of money because I was chasing the magic pony up and down, you know, the Magnificent Seven and all that. But I'm a U.S. Marine. You know, like I flew these things all over the world. I want to see, touch, and feel my money. I don't want something I can print. So you look at what the Credit Suisse got banged, Silverado, and Silvergate Bank lost money. So our banking system's in trouble. So that's why, and as you know, they bail out the rich. They don't bail out the poor or middle class. They screw the poor middle class. So I'm okay. You know, I mean, I own gold, silver, I have food, I have cattle, I have oil, I own apartment houses. But my policy was I don't want something you can print, because that's what brought down centuries ago, brought down the Chinese, brought down the Romans, and it brought up Hitler. So history's repeating itself, and history proves We don't learn from our history. It's sad.
No, you're right. And I always used to say that you have a very unique perspective, unfortunately, and I mean that as a compliment. But believe it or not, I think a lot of people went from woke to awake, and that pendulum is kind of swinging and right. And now they're starting to say, oh, okay, you're right. Hard physical assets. And not that there's anything wrong with it. I just don't believe in it. You know, buying physical gold and having it stored somewhere else. If I'm buying it, I want it, right? I give it to me. Let me hold it. And more of the physical assets people are understanding. There's more people, not just gold and silver, but Bitcoin. They're starting to understand the US dollar a little bit more. I think the hardest folks are to understand and grasp are those that in their late 50s and at or getting close to retirement or even in retirement, whereas the younger generations, they get it. They're more in tune. They're more financially literate, I think, than folks my own age. So what advice? So if you were starting right now and you were teaching a class, financial literacy, what would you say? Okay, these are the things that you need to do.
Well, I appreciate you reading my book, Your Fate. I just tell you, like a wild man. This is the creature from Jekyll Island. You know, it's about the
yes. Oh, that's one of my favorite books. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, this book, you understand why now Trump.
Yes.
Trapped. This here is when money destroys nations. It's about what happened with this. Like I said, I was in Zimbabwe when it came down. I went, holy mackerel. So the point here is this. It's not that hard, but you've got to think for yourself. I have a friend. He's a mega, mega millionaire. Did he go to college? He said, no. And the reason is his mother or father bought him some chickens and they started laying eggs. And guess how many eggs he sells a day? 18 million eggs a day.
That's a couple.
He's just a managed chicken farmer.
That's a way to start a business and then boom it. Holy cow.
Well, that's what people
I should say,
want.
Holy chicken.
Yeah. He and I laugh all the time because I was stupid for hoarding silver. I said, well, I know silver is going to disappear. I know it's happening. Oh, but you can make more money in the Nifty 7 or the Magnificent 7. I'm like, it takes too much work. You know, I just buy the silver, I store it, and then I go and rent my apartment houses. That's where I get my cash from. And I use debt to lever up. Like my friends, not friends, but the people I heard, I sold $1 million worth of gold. And I said, why should you do that? Because a deal came up and I needed the cash. But it was just more than a deal. I put the million up. You know, real estate guys know I can 10 times that. So I put up $1 million. I put another 10 million in debt onto it. So I now had an asset worth $11 million. And it produces cash flow, which I go back and buy more gold with. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's just almost common sense today. I'd rather have eggs than a dollar bill right now. You know what I mean? Eggs are expensive. I went to the dinner the other night. A salad cost me $25. I mean, that was not the main salad. I see the homelessness and I just go crazy. So this is terrible. I think it was Thomas Jefferson who predicted this would happen. And it goes back to this book here on the Federal Reserve Bank, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I think it was Jefferson said, your children will wake up homeless in the lands that their fathers fought for, something like that. In other words, when you print money, money goes bad and the poor middle class get poorer, but the rich get richer. And when you can think about that, and then you send your kids to school where you get woped.
Yeah.
You like your dad? Then what, maybe you should get a sex change. You know, Jimmy, give me a break here.
And let break before it.
Right?
Yeah. And again, I'm very happy that the pendulum is finally starting to swing the other way. And what I mean is that common sense is kind of coming back into the picture, but that's on Main Street. At what point is common sense going to come back to Wall Street and DC? And, you know, I'm not a glasses half empty or half full kind of a guy. I'm just the kind of guy that's happy to have a glass, right? You just give me the glass and I'll figure out what to do with it. But I just don't see DC powers that be kind of doing what they're supposed to do. And we're already starting to see that with this reconciliation bill kind of coming through right now. Everyone has their last leg that they're standing on. They're making their last stand. And it's all about their constituencies and just adding more pork to the debt. It's disheartening. But beyond that, to me, you know, being a math guy, looking at it, it's frightening when you look at the big picture long term. So
it's terrifying. Again, let's keep it really simple here. I hold this up and I hold this up. This is a real, it's here. This is a real half dollar. There's no copper tinge on it. Which one do you want? Well, people go for this. if you don't understand why you should go for this, you better get educated pretty quickly, because in 2 years, this will be 50 of these for one of these. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
down in
the valley. Absolutely. And you were talking about history repeating itself. And it was, the U.S. is kind of repeating itself. If we go back to the Roman Empire, right? They started making the coins a little bit smaller, and then they started blending silver and making less and less silver and adding and blending in zinc and copper. And so what is the U.S. doing now? The U.S. penny, it's not even copper. And you were talking about 1964. I may be wrong, but wasn't it 65 is when they started adding copper in the copper ring around it? Yeah.
65.
Yeah. My dad was big into gold and silver, and Navy guy, enlisted, retired. And he always told me, he said, never buy coins based on the intrinsic value, the collectible. It's just based on the actual value, right? And so I've kind of lived by that. I was like you. I started buying stuff in college, but people aren't taught that. It's, what have you done for me lately? It's, I wish I had a credit card. I was trying to dig for one just to hold it up, right? It's all about that plastic. That's money. Right. That's even more fake than the $5 bill that you were holding up, because all you're doing is, it's all debt. That's all you're doing.
You brought up an important subject, you see. The U.S. dollar is debt. And if we stop borrowing money, we collapse.
Right.
And so when Trump is trying to get people to borrow more money, because if we don't, there's no money. So the only way money comes into existence is if you and I use our credit cards or borrow money. Then it comes into existence. The trouble is, as you know, you've got to keep paying it back. And it's now at $36, $37 trillion. It's not sustainable.
Oh, yeah. You're exactly right.
And so that's why I'd being a pilot in Vietnam, because it's prepare for the crash. You know, I've loaded up on gold, real gold, real silver. I keep it outside the country because, you know, with the confiscation that took place in 1933, and that I own cattle and eggs, stuff like that, oil. Real estate.
I always tell people, you know, there's five types of precious metals that you should invest in, you know, gold, silver, copper, lead, and brass.
I love this country. You know, I'm a fourth generation Japanese American. America's been very good to me. I understand why the immigrants want to come here, but come across legally. Come legally.
Right.
But I don't understand this, Ed. Maybe I'm asking too political a question. Why the hell did Biden take that wall down? They knew what they were doing.
They did. It was by design. I mean, it was.
Why did they do that? I mean, if somebody should be, let's say, handled, it's those crazy lunatics on the left. They're our enemy.
It was very disheartening. The treatment of our veterans, right? We're having, you could say whatever term you want to use. I'm going to use illegal aliens that were staying in five-star hotels, three hots and a cot, and they were throwing the food away. But yet our vets were homeless on the streets. And can't even get, you know, medical services. And that's what's upsetting. I tell people the story all the time. My dad was diagnosed with stage 3B lung cancer. You know, he was in Korea and Vietnam, and they gave him 7 months to live, but couldn't get an appointment at the VA for 8 months. So private, you know, we had to actually take care of it to, you know, and he wound up surviving in another 9 years after that. But that should never happen. But yet we have people that came here illegally, taking advantage, gaming the system, right? Not playing by the rules. And we're just giving it to them hand over fist and adding to our national debt, the continued problems. And again, I'm glad to see that we've literally shut the border down to stop that. And I think we're finally doing what's right and taking care of some of the vets, hopefully sooner rather than later. But yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah. It's like the enemy is inside walls right now. And it's not Republican or Democrat. It's these whack jobs who are liberal. I mean, you can be what you like. It's a free country. But don't kill our country. Don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg. And that's what they're killing. So I sit here and just perplexed. I feel for the children coming up. We're the biggest debtor nation in world history.
Mm-hmm.
And only a few years ago, probably 75 years ago, we're the richest.
Yes.
And now we're debtor. And what do our schools do about it? Nothing. I think that's why Trump's going to shut down the Department of Education. He's going after Harvard, Stanford, and those schools. Our academics are criminals. They should be shot at dawn. the Marines had a way of handling the problem, should we say. You know what I mean? We had a way of handling it. And I went to Vietnam twice, and I fought for this country. I came home, I got spit on, hit with eggs, called a baby killer, and going, you know, I swear. she wasn't there. I jokingly, because I speak to conservatives most of the time. Mm-hmm. I said, look at all these hippies from Woodstock, you know, love child and beads and flowers in their hair and all this stuff. And I laughingly say, I'm only kidding. I swear to God, I saw Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi out there. I'm only kidding. But those hippies became our leaders.
Yeah.
Holy God.
That was part of the indoctrination program. I mean, it started in the late 1800s, but really came to fruition as part of, you know, Rockefeller and his foundation in the early 1900s. And it really isn't about education and literacy. It really is about indoctrination.
All right.
And again, COVID, the lockdowns, as horrible as that was, I do believe that it served a very good purpose of waking people up saying, whoa, 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 what is this? Myself included, watching my boys in high school, listening to what they were being taught. I was like, what is that? And that's not even history. I was shocked. And I think the majority of Americans felt the same way that I did. Now they're in college, but it was opening to them to having experienced it, and it opened their eyes and it completely changed their perspective too. So at least there was some good that came out of it, as tragic as it was, but at least some people came out of it a little more awake.
I hope so, my friend. I hope so. My question to everybody is, if our debt is untenable, we cannot pay it back, what are you going to do about it? You can say, well, the Fed should do something about it. The Fed's the problem.
They are the problem.
And then nobody showed up to buy our bonds, so they sold the bonds to the Treasury or something like that.
Right.
Moody's just downgraded us. And, well, it's not what you should do. What are you going to do? And so that's why for years and years and years, I stockpile gold, silver, and then when Bitcoin came out, I made a fortune. I didn't know what I was doing, truthfully, but I figured I'd better wake up and just test it. And so far I'm floating really, really well. My finger's on the trigger in case I have to get out fast, which I like about Bitcoin. Gold and silver takes a while to get rid of, but Bitcoin is fast. So anyway, I'm just experimenting. And meanwhile, I buy cattle. I don't have any chickens. I like eggs, but I have oil wells and stuff like that. Nothing they can print. It's a very simple rule for me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, as we kind of end here, what's some parting advice? We'll do that. And then we're going to end with a prediction, because your predictions were spot on. So I'm going to see what your predictions are going further on gold, silver, and Bitcoin too. So some words of wisdom and then some predictions.
Jesus. It's tough because what you do depends upon how old you are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so if you're my age, and Trump and I are the same age, and you have a catastrophic illness and you're old, you're finished. Because, you know, healthcare bankrupts most people.
It does.
And when do you have healthcare problems? When you're old. So when you're young, you can fight it back. So a lot, as you know, a person has to take into account their age and their longevity. That's the thinking of it. And most importantly is your friends. Are your friends proactive or are they just reactive? And so that's why I said I have my little study groups and all this. I got a lot of pushback. I don't want to study. So, okay, don't study. But as you and I do, we study. You know, that's take notes and do this. Every morning I spend at least an hour studying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's changing too fast.
It is.
It depends upon you, not the government at this point. The government got us into this mess. Question is, what are you going to do about it? You know, vote for a new party? Oh, you know, break. We're so screwed up. We're watching the end of the great American empire. I hate to say that because I fought twice for that. As Robert Kennedy said, the real one, the first one, for those who've been given so much as required. In other words, we're blessed people right now. But what are you going to do about it? How do you give back? How do you teach? So I created my cashflow board game here so people could teach people. That's why I gave back. Changed my whole life. But that's what I knew, you know?
That is great advice. You know, that old saying, right? Hard times create hard men create soft times create soft men create hard times, right? And I think we're in that last cycle, to be honest with you. So that's great advice. You know, depend on yourself and those that you're surrounded with.
If your friends don't want to study, find new friends.
Yeah. I cannot remember who the philosopher was that said it. I'm drawing a blank. But anyways, it says that you are the sum total of the five friends that you surround yourself with, right?
I've heard that too.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it, but it just, yeah, I'll think of it and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot. But so Bitcoin, I just looked right before we started in June 16th, Monday, and it was right around 107, 108. We did see it break, it was over 111. Where do you see it going?
Well, I drank the Kool-Aid, unfortunately. And you're talking to a guy who is a Technosaurus dinosaur. You know, my assistant said to the teacher, I'll use my cell phone. I'm so behind the times. but I did take technical trading. So I'm just trading it. I'm not buying. I mean, I'm not selling. But I'm watching it go up and down, up and down, up and down, and up and down. And I think that it's possible it goes to a million a coin in about 2 years.
Wow. Wow.
Possible. But, you know, it's possible I can walk on water, too. You can't take yourself too seriously in this business.
No, you can't. You can't. No, you can't. Well, Robert, I really appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. So thank you for coming back on the podcast. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully you'll come back soon.
I appreciate what you do. You and I are joined at the wallet.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a blessed day. I appreciate it.
Same to you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You tested your fitness level, not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance, because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with The Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into 5 simple steps. It's the retirement fitness plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the retirement fitness plan at egsifinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to the Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio License Number 102-06-19.